The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody, welcome. Come on in. Nice to have you on this Monday, the 15th day of August 2022. Much to examine from the weekend gone by. Continuing tentacles of ramifications coming off the Mar-a-Lago raid. I'll get back into that here in just a second. Fresh poll numbers out showing Abbott on top of Beto 46-39. Lots of election anticipation. A number of things are going on still in the primaries. The Wyoming primary is tomorrow, and that will, please Lord, feature Harriet Hagerman returning Liz Cheney to private life. That will be, if the voters of Wyoming are on their game and have their heads screwed on straight, it will be the end of a spectacle that has been so very, very needless. I mean, people can do whatever they want. They can like whomever they wish, be motivated by whatever they please. But and for, you know, Adam Kinzinger or even, you know, pundits and people that I've liked, George Will, Bill Kristol, for them to have their brains and hearts eaten up by Trump hatred, all of those are varying degrees of distress. But that Cheney family, man, Dick Cheney was, like, for a long while there, my favorite vice president. Might still be. I don't hold his current his current mental disconnect against his tenure as vice president. But that daughter of theirs, I held out such hope. I mean, I had first woman president, betting rights on Liz Cheney with her conservative clarity, her courageousness. But then Trump broke her. Trump just absolutely broke her. And now she and her addled father believe that destroying Trump is the most important thing they will ever do for this country. Two people who really have done remarkable things for this country reduced to this level of stupid vendetta. There has to be a price for that, and the people of Wyoming are going to pay that price. A week from tomorrow, Florida primary. DeSantis has no primary opposition at that Florida primary, Republican primary canceled at that level. Nikki Fried and Charlie Crist are going to be battling it out for which Democrat will Ron DeSantis destroy this November. And of course, Governor DeSantis's victory in November may or may not be followed by a fairly quick pivot to a presidential run. Wouldn't that be something? There is a word or two about that, and then we'll go to a local story that is pretty terrible, but there's a lot of attention being paid to it, and it sort of draws a sharp spotlight onto society, and I'll tell you about that here in a second. But a lot of people, myself included, have come to dread the possibility of the Trump-DeSantis primary, where if Trump runs, as virtually everyone seems pretty confident that he will, and if DeSantis runs for president, which he gives off a lot of indications that he will, it causes a lot of Republicans to kind of gulp hard and go, ugh, that's going to be terrible. And there are elements. I mean, I've said if I could wave a magic wand, it would be to have President Trump continue to take up space rent-free in the heads of all of his tormentors, continue to be the most riveting figure in American politics, and to do so from private life. As he backs a genuine soulmate in the form of DeSantis, who seems to have every molecule of Trumpian spine and courage, a great deal of the Trump agenda, and with some additional discipline and lacking some of the unforced errors that would occasionally, you know, have us, stubbing our toe a little bit in the Trump years. And the thing about DeSantis is once he's inaugurated, January of 2025, he can serve two terms, which Trump cannot. So I think if I had to pick one favorite thing, that would be it. Now, if Trump and DeSantis duke it out in the primaries and Trump wins it, and it's Trump versus whoever, because it ain't going to be Biden, great. We'll walk through fire and crawl on broken glass again to make sure we turn up in numbers that are sufficiently strong that even the remaining vestiges of fraud won't matter. But the thing that I've come to, if not embrace, then grow tolerant of, is the notion of the Trump-DeSantis primary. Because everybody thinks that's just going to be blood on the walls, it's going to be terrible, they'll destroy each other, and whoever does wind up emerging victorious will be such damaged goods that it'll be easier for a Democrat to win. And you know, I just don't necessarily think so. And here's why. Trump went after everybody. It was scorched earth. Little Marco. Lion Ted, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's because he had there 16 people running. And so he was just out there just strafing the entire field. In this particular, this would be a real mano a mano, because if it really does wind up being Trump and DeSantis, I think Tom Cotton still runs. I think Mike Pompeo still runs. Good guys, both. I don't think there's enough oxygen left for them. Maybe there'll be a lane for Pence, a lane for an active Trump hater if they want to just get bludgeoned by the marketplace again. That'll be fun to see. But ultimately, your two big dogs are going to be Trump and DeSantis. And I think it might be, I don't know who phrased it this way. He said, listen, don't fear the Trump-DeSantis primary. Might make both of them better. Iron sharpens iron. And whoever winds up emerging from that will certainly have the full support of the other. And ultimately, we'll have a nominee that can excite the base. So, okay. All right. Let's see what happens. Let's just see what. And we're going to get signals aplenty on that. This is the middle of August of 2022. The election is 2.5 months away. Not long after this election, we're going to start to know the answer to some serious questions. Is DeSantis going to pull a George W. Bush and win re-election as governor and then pretty well start planning his presidential run on the way home from his second inaugural ball? Everybody knew George W. was doing it. Nobody minded. We all knew it. Ditto with DeSantis. We'll know. And everybody says, well, all this Mar-a-Lago stuff, it's going to make Trump announce early. No, it is not. No, it is not. He is thoroughly enjoying keeping everybody strung along, and that will happen well into, I believe, well, at least into the new year, because I don't think he wants to bury the story in the holidays. And so it's going to be total game on come January, because then everybody spends a year running for president of Iowa and New Hampshire. All right, 866-660-5759. Let me get to the local story here in a second, a number of other things. But first, some folks have been on the phone. We'll take care of them as well. We are in Bedford. Kevin, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Good morning, sir.
Hi.
Hey. So in the gambit of possibilities, you're sitting there talking about all the possible things that could be the outcome from the Mar-a-Lago raid with Trump. And you mentioned there's the two possibilities of, you know, maybe he is guilty, maybe there's something in these 15 boxes, and maybe he gets indicted, or maybe happens, they return everything, or everything goes back to normal, mm-hmm. or maybe there's nothing there to begin with, it launches his 2024 election bid, or maybe he just stays in private life. Well, mm-hmm. There's another possibility here, just in the realm of gambit things, I'm just kind of thinking through, is what if he's thinking about, he didn't of his campaign promises. I'm thinking back to 2020 to drain the swamp. I think that thing maybe just eating at him. He never fully got to drain the swamp. In fact, but, you know, it was actually deeper than he originally thought it was going to be. What if some of this is a setup, man? Maybe what if he's got something he wanted them to find and he put this whole thing in motion to get some documents out? I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there as a gamut of possibilities.
I know. Like what? What would be the nature of something that would be in his better interests to have out there?
You know, maybe something that throw some shade on Biden, his relationship with Hunter, and the gambit of things going on with China. Maybe there's some things to undermine the Democratic Party, more the kind of the foundational level.
No,
that
I understand.
He wouldn't be able to, you know.
I guess the first thing that occurs to me is if a lot of this stuff was as unclassified as he now portrays them as being, they might seem like the kind of things that he could pretty well release on his own and say, look, this is unclassified. Here's some damaging stuff about Biden or about Hunter or about whatever. However, anything's possible. And that's why there is wisdom, even in identifying ahead of time as suspicious and the kind of stench that comes off of this kind of raid to quash a political rival. That's just bad. It's instant conflict of interest. There is still a lot yet to be determined. And so we'll keep eyes open and see what's in some of this stuff. Because sooner or later, we may well know. All right, here is something that we know locally, and it's just terrible. Have you heard about the story of Mike Hickman? Mike Hickman was a football player, UNT, and had an incredible game against, UTEP, I think, in 2002. It was one of those one-day moments where a guy who didn't necessarily go on to NFL greatness has a real shining day on a college football gridiron. Mike Hickman went on to do a lot of coaching, including at a 9-year-old's little league football game over the weekend, where in Lancaster things got tense, as they will sometimes do at youngsters' football and baseball games, and he was shot and killed. The suspect is someone named Yaqub Talib, who is the brother of an NFL veteran who was actually in attendance as well. Now we can't find the shooter. Alexis Wainwright on Channel 11 last night had the story.
People are mourning the loss of Mike Hickman, who they called a pillar of the community.
It took away a great person that was wanting to help the community and better us as a person.
Friends and family identified Hickman as the man killed during a Little League football game in Lancaster Saturday.
I've been knowing he was a good guy, always happy, upbeat, good father, good husband. I always stood up for what's right. It's very tragic.
Police are looking for the suspect, Yaqub Salik Talib, who is the brother of former NFL player Aqib Talib. There was a fight here on this field following a disagreement between the coaching staff and officiating crew. That's when police say Talib pulled out a gun and started shooting.
That was too extreme. I wasn't expecting that. I was so close, I thought I was shot.
This all happened in front of young kids who were playing and watching the game. Another coach says now many of them are scarred.
Like half of them come to sleep, they been crying, weary, don't want to play football. I mean, what can you expect? They nine, they babies.
Friends of Hickman tell CBS 11 he coached football for years, and now they feel lost without him.
He was very loved in the community. Everybody loved him and his son. Everybody looked up to him as a good father. We learned a lot of things from him.
In Lancaster, Alexis Wainwright, CBS 11 News.
So rest in peace, Mike Hickman. It's just another opportunity to see how just what a kind of a thin veneer stands between civilization and chaos. Yeah, how many times we've made this observation that, and obviously it's kind of a boilerplate thing about how people get way too worked up at Little League baseball and peewee football and things of this nature, Pop Warner games and stuff. We, you know, the parents experiencing things vicariously, and you know we get way too worked up over what kids are up to and the kids playing other kids in various contests. Throw in just the lack of coping skills and a criminal element and the short fuse of tempers, the erosion of character, and that's how you end up with things like this. and a light has been dimmed here. This is I heard about this over the weekend and wanted to pay some attention to it and play that and hope they need to really find the shooter in this. That would be good to find Mr. Tlaib. But the most important thing is to remember Mike Hickman and the kind of apparently the kind of husband, father, and coach that he was. We need more like him. 8:24.
The sun go down into
must be Chris Isaac
out on the edge of town,
waiting for my lucky day from the Baja Sessions.
Keep on hanging around in Texas, waiting for my lucky day.
Well, we're hanging out in Texas, glad to have you. Let us let's knock on the door of the newsroom, see what's going on with Gordon Griffin. On the other side, Senator Mike Rounds of San Diego is on Meet the Press talking about aftermath of the raid and a couple of things on our minds. On CBS Sunday Morning, speaking of kids, and you know, our childhoods were different and they were better, and they were, by the way. Surely you've noticed that kids are less active today. They don't play outside as much. And they're not, it's just a different kind of childhood. They have ascribed a different cause to this that is just part of just fresh idiocy of the week. And I'll play that for you as well. So all kinds of things going on. Glad to have your input. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 831. Here's Gordon. It is Tom Johnston's birthday. The earlier old school Doobie Brothers, Little Natural Thing from Captain and Me. Big Tom is 74. And to the benefit of all, Tom Johnston and Michael McDonald and Pat Simmons are all out there as the Doobie Brothers continue to tour. God love them. So there we are. Already 866-660-5759. Weekend idiocy, an ongoing series. Here is a little story on CBS This Morning from Sunday Morning. If we stipulate that our kids of today are less aerobically fit than their parents, it's probably a generational decline lasting a while, but today's kids are just not out, you know, I'm running around all over God's creation, you know, getting, you know, tanned and lean and rocking and rolling and enjoying just being out all day, running around, doing athletic things and active things with my friends. And that just doesn't happen as much today. Why might that be? Is it the easy availability of screens, the failure of parents to peel their kids off of those screens and say, get out and do something? Is it allowing our kids to OD on junk food and more bad parenting? Well, those would all be yes. But they found another reason. They found another reason for the fitness problem among today's children.
A new study showing how climate change, specifically higher temperatures, is making our children more inactive and more obese.
Climate change is why our kids are out of shape.
Published in a journal, Temperature found...
The journal Temperature? There's a journal called Temperature? Gee, what are they going to find? The journal Temperature discovered there are too many slovenly parents letting their kids eat junk food. The journal Temperature discovered the kids don't have the motivation to peel off the damn screens and get out and play with their friends. No, the journal Temperature is going to find something climate related.
Today's children are 30% less aerobically fit than their parents were at their age. Fewer children are reaching the World Health Organization's recommendation of 60 minutes of exercise a day. Now, listen.
And is it? Oh, hang on.
Has been a lot hotter, and the weather has been crazy. But I think it also has to do with technology.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's one thing not to go outside, but these kids don't go outside because they can stay inside, be on their phones, play video games, and be social without having to go outside and be social.
So thank you, sir. Thank you. But yeah, so how about we go with that and not beat us down with the blatherings of the journal temperature. All right. The temperature continues to simmer on the raid aftermath. What's going to happen? What are we going to find out? What will we learn? And will the things that we learn here in the continuing days that pass after the Mar-a-Lago raid, will they accrue to the benefit or detriment of Trump's reputation? Will they accrue to the benefit or the detriment of the reputations of the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, and the much-besieged FBI? Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota, who was on Meet the Press, guest hosted by Andrea Mitchell, and she reminded him of something that he had said right after the raid.
So earlier this week, you said that the FBI search must be justified and that you had serious questions about the integrity of the Justice Department. Having seen what they retrieved, including all these classified documents, has that answered your questions about the need for them to go in?
I think it brings more questions, and I think it's important that we recognize that there are more, that there's more information to be released yet. I think releasing the affidavit would help. At least that would confirm that there was justification for this raid.
The affidavit, there's going to be a lot of words flying thick and fast. The inventory shows, you know, the warrant and the receipts show what they had. Box of stuff that said this on the label and this and that. The affidavit is testimony that speaks to the motivation for the raid in the first place.
But remember, this is also a case of where we're going to have more questions as they continue to develop, as they look through the information, the material that they've garnered at Mar-a-Lago. Perhaps they will share some of what their concern was. They'll share a little bit about the reason for actually going in and doing it this way. There's going to be a question about whether or not they did exhaust, as Attorney General Garland said, all other means to do this rather than making this unprecedented move on the home of a former president. This is a, you know, this is a very historic attempt and a challenge, really, in with regard to looking at a former president and whether or not they want to bring any kind of charges against him.
And again, the former president, you bet, that is what makes it historic. This has never happened. But the thing that makes it stink to high heaven is the political rival angle. This is Joe Biden. If he is the nominee in 2024, which he's not going to be, but if he were to, right now, he's presumed to be. He hasn't said I'm not running, so he's the presumed, at least a political rival of the former president. And for it just screams conflict of interest, especially for Merrick Garland, whose job hangs on Donald Trump's political fate. You know, if Trump runs and beats Biden, then Merrick Garland ain't attorney general anymore. It screams conflict of interest.
This is a change, and this is something that will go down in history, and it'll be studied for years to come. But in the meantime, I think most Republicans would prefer to look right now with the 2022 midterms coming up. We'd much prefer to focus on what the policies are right now that are hurting our economy. And as my friend Amy Klobuchar said, they want to talk about what they think is the right direction to go. And clearly here in South Dakota, where I'm from, I went to a street dance last night. And I'll tell you what, the folks in Fort Pierce, South Dakota, are talking about why gas prices are still high. They're talking about what the cost of hamburger is. They're talking about why in the world we want to have 87,000 new bureaucrats in the IRS out chasing down and trying to audit them. And those are the types of things that they're learning about. Those are the things that they're scratching their head on. And that's the focus that I think Democrats would prefer not to have right now. And if they can get the former president with all of the popularity that he's gaining and all of the support he's getting from his supporters right now, if they could get him to announce right now in the race, they'd love to have that, because that would take all the air out of the atmosphere right now and the challenges that they face with regard to the economy at this time.
And for the, you know, third or fourth time today, and for the update, that's not going to happen. Trump is not going to announce this week. He's not going to announce this month. Everybody's all hopped up. It's like, wouldn't it be something striking while the iron is hot? But it would also, you know, blow the entire barrel of explosives. It will be a definitive, explosive, dramatic, incredible moment if we get to that point. And yes, it is if, where Trump runs. There is no way in the world he's going to exhaust that in the summer of 2022.
Well, let me play some of the rhetoric, some of the comments by some of your colleagues about the search and ask you about it on the other
side.
This
is good.
I know doing this 90 days before an election.
Lindsey Graham.
Of politics.
I think it's an attack on the rule of law.
Rand Paul.
This is the FBI being used as a political weapon against your opponents.
Oh, by the way, there's Rand Paul news. Let me go find this because you're going to be hearing a lot about the Espionage Act, because that is the thing that they're going to go after Trump for, perhaps. And that is, it was an intentional violation of the Espionage Act. Rand Paul has offered a little bit of logic that says maybe this whole Espionage Act thing has run its course and maybe that thing ought to be repealed. All right, we'll examine.
We should be alarmed.
Tim Scott, South Carolina.
At the way that the Department of Justice and the FBI have gone after someone.
Doesn't the fact that so much was found, including classified documents, when the president and his lawyer had affirmed, according to the New York Times, that they had turned everything over, doesn't that justify a search, an unannounced search? For months and months, they tried to get cooperation. Didn't they take every step that they could have taken?
Well, nobody knows that.
I think the last part of your question is probably very important. I think it would be good for the Justice Department to release some of the information about the extraordinary steps or the steps they did take to try to cooperate with the former president.
And again, so much of this is wrapped in, are there details we're going to get, or are there details that we're not going to get about the level of cooperation? Trump says we had a great relationship. We had a fantastic relationship. Things were moving and grooving. And, you know, we were working together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, if that's the case, then the raid was not justified. So from the other side, from Attorney General Merrick Garland, the American people deserve a bit of a chronicle of how uncooperative they were, about how, listen, we tried and we worked and we, you know, just came up against a brick wall at every corner. There were things we were trying to get and they just weren't giving them to us. So we had no choice but to have a guns-drawn raid at Mar-a-Lago. That's the case they've got to make for this raid to look justified. All right, I just found it. Rand Paul talking about maybe the whole Espionage Act thing has run its course. Let's examine next. Mark Davis, 848. It's 854. So the Espionage Act is going to come under a lot of scrutiny. So let's spend a moment on what it is and why some people want to get rid of it. Rand Paul wants to get rid of it. Had a tweet over the weekend about how it's an assault on the First Amendment. How it dates back to some folks were, he believes, persecuted for opposing the draft and showing ideological opposition to World War One. It goes back to the Woodrow Wilson era. Most thoughts about the Espionage Act that people have in the modern world are about people, you know, acquiring or giving away secrets that they shouldn't have and shouldn't give away. So as the warrant is made public and more things start to trickle out about that, the Espionage Act makes it illegal for anyone who has information related to national defense to use it, quote, to the injury of the United States, or, quote, to the advantage of any foreign nation. So let's just spend a moment on that. Is anyone going to be able to argue that it was President Trump's wish to employ this information to the injury of the United States or the advantage of any foreign nation? It is not an Espionage Act violation to be a sloppy record keeper, to have not done an ardent enough job making sure which boxes should have come to Mar-a-Lago and which ones should not. Under the Espionage Act, it is also illegal for anyone who lawfully has possession of info related to national security to provide it or attempt to provide it to those not permitted to obtain it. That's why all of these, you know, Reality Winner and Edward Snowden, These people are not heroes. They are criminals. So anybody convicted of violating the Espionage Act could face a fine or up to 10 years in prison, like per count. So Woodrow Wilson signs the act into law a few months after the U.S. enters World War I, and it was passed to prevent, ostensibly, interference with the war effort. Huh. What does that mean? Or recruiting soldiers and preventing Americans from supporting the country's enemies during wartime. For the FBI search warrant at Mar-a-Lago to be approved, the agency needed to show probable cause that a crime had been committed and that evidence was located in a specific place, not just evidence that the documents were there. But again, as I said a few minutes ago, evidence that negotiations had gone nowhere and that there was a reason to believe that an Espionage Act violation or something very close to it, something of that gravity, that had been committed. And that just that case has not been made. Has not been made. So this that's why I've called it the Mar-a-Lago tug of war. Trump will continue to say that there wasn't anything that justified the raid. Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray will continue to say that there were things that did justify the raid. But and they're probably going to spend the next weeks and months saying that there are things that justify the raid, but we can't tell you what they are. That may not go over well. All right, 8:57. Things I haven't even brought up yet for the 9 o'clock hour. A number of things that some audio from the weekend, some things that you'd like to bring us are available at 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 8:58.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.